reading, and if you've had an opportunity to read the bulletin, you know that we are going to be talking about how people lose Jesus. And you can see there where that Jesus' parents had lost track of him and had missed him for 3 days before that they found him. And so we want to take that account, and there are some similarities, some illustrations that we'd like to draw from it. First of all, though, I think that those that are parents, or even if you're not a parent, if you have been responsible for someone younger and you've kind of lost track of them, you know that terror, that fear that strikes in your heart. And so the idea of losing someone, especially in this sense of losing a child, would be one that would be extremely frightening. Yet we also understand that God is a father. And he's not just a father of the souls of people that he has created, but more especially that in a family relationship, he is the father of those that are Christians, that they are sons and daughters of the Most High God. So we recognize as well that there are times in which Christians no longer seek to live faithfully with God, and in that sense, then God is losing a child. He has lost a son or a daughter, and he would desire to restore them, to have them to come back to the family and to be who that they have submitted themselves and their obedience to the gospel to being children of God, sons and daughters of God. Now, the twist in all of that is that how God actually loses children is by his children actually losing Jesus, losing the Son of God. And so if we become separate from Jesus, then we have become separate from God, because the Father and the Son are always together. They are always in harmony. And we do not have one without the other. So this morning, as we consider this account, I'd like for us to think about some of the things that have transpired here that we might learn from, that we might think about, and might help us to reevaluate even our position in our relationship with God and with Jesus Christ, just in case as well that we are weakening, or at the very least, to just find some things that would help us to be strengthened, to be stronger in our service and in our relationship with God. So, the first thing I'd like for you to notice is, as we began our reading there in the second chapter of Luke, it says, "And his parents," speaking of Jesus, of course, "went every year to Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up after the custom of the feast." And so, Jesus goes with his family. It's not like that they have left him back at home at Nazareth, but he has gone with them. And so they lose Jesus from the sense that they've actually had him with them, that he has been together with them, that they have been together in their presence here in Jerusalem. So we realize that we do not lose something we do not actually have a possession of, or we do not lose a relationship that we have not actually been in a relationship with. So you cannot lose that which you do not actually have, or what you have had. The apostle, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the churches of Galatia, says, as recorded there in the 5th chapter in the 4th verse, he says, "You are severed from Christ, you would be justified by the law. You're fallen away from grace." So here were some that have transitioned in their relationship with Jesus Christ, but in order to transition in that relationship, in order to be severed from Christ, we'd recognize that they'd first have to be joined to Christ, wouldn't we? So you do not lose what you do not have, and we find that in order to lose Jesus, that first of all, you're going to have to be in a relationship with Jesus. And that is something for us to think about. That's something for us to consider. And that is as if a person, you know, thinks about living in relationship with God and being a Christian, you need to consider, well, have I become a Christian? Am I a child of God? Is God my Father through Jesus Christ? And the way to know that is just as the Holy Spirit revealed to the Apostle Paul there, how that we might be severed from Christ, how that we might fall from grace. The Holy Spirit has also revealed through these apostles what one must do in order to be a Christian. In the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, we find where that the Apostle Paul, once again by that same inspiration that he wrote to the churches of Galatia, says that what has been manifested by the Scriptures and of the prophets according to the commandment of the eternal God is made known unto all the nations, unto obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. So, as the gospel goes out unto all people, a lot of people hear the gospel. But just hearing the gospel isn't sufficient to be in a relationship with God. It's not sufficient to be joined together with Christ. We find that it takes obedience, he says, there of that gospel. In other words, one's going to have to seek out and determine, well, what would God have me to do in order to be a Christian? What does Jesus say that I must participate in order to be in relationship with Him, in order to be joined together with Him before I could ever even be lost from Him? So as we look through the Scriptures, we would note in passages like in John 3:16, where Jesus said that God had so loved the world that that's the reason that He sent His only begotten Son. But He also says that in sending His Son that one has to believe, and that believing then, one has then that opportunity for eternal life. In the third chapter of Acts and in the 19th verse, the apostle, as the gospel was being preached there to individuals to consider whether or not they wanted to be a Christian or not, he said there that God has called upon individuals to repent, to turn from sin, he says, so that there might be seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, and in the 37th verse, we find once again when the gospel was being preached, just like we saw there, the gospel going out unto all nations, and we're seeing people obeying the gospel, obedience to the gospel, where that then, like the Ethiopian eunuch, when he learned about Jesus, and he asked to be baptized, he said, "Here's water, what hinders me from being baptized?" We find then that Philip said, "Well, if you believe, you may." And so there he began to making this confession. He said, "Well, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so we have there an example of one making a confession, doing that which Jesus called upon people to do. He said, "Who would ever confess me before men? Him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men," he says, "him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven." And so you see, the Holy Spirit has revealed to us, has given us, within that gospel that goes out into the world, those things which we must participate in, the things that we must do in order to be a Christian, in order to be joined to Jesus Christ. The second chapter of Acts, we find, again, when the gospel's being preached out here, going out here unto all nations, that there were 3,000 people on that day who were obedient to the gospel, like there in Romans 16. Those are obedience to the gospel. And so how were they obedient to the gospel? Well, he says there that they had been convicted. They were pierced in their heart. And they asked that question, you know, "What shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." So we see that the gospel reveals that in order to have Jesus Christ, in order to be joined to Jesus Christ, we have to obey the gospel. And obeying the gospel then is believing in Christ and turning from sin, confessing our faith, and being immersed, being buried with Jesus Christ in baptism. the Scriptures talk about, in that we rise together with Him in a newness of life. Now, we have been joined with Christ. I'm speaking to an audience that many of you have been joined together with Christ. If you have not, we would ask you to think about it, consider whether or not you should obey the gospel, whether or not you have been in obedience to the gospel. If you have not, that you would answer the gospel call. But some of us obeyed the gospel call many years ago, and we walked with the Lord for many years now. But we need to examine and make sure that we are still walking with the Lord, just as we would examine and make sure that we have been joined together with the Lord by a true obedience of the gospel. The Word of God has shown us to do in order to be children of God. Because when we go back and we look at this instance, they have Jesus. They take Jesus with them to Jerusalem. And I'm sure that they, you know, spent time together with Him while they were in Jerusalem. But as we read there in the account, as Dave read there for us, it says that when they had fulfilled the days as they were returning, the boy Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. You see, they've been with this son for 12 years, and they've now been in this large city with him for these past few days, as they have been there for the Passover feast. But as they are returning, he's not with them. And yet they didn't know it. And that's what I'm talking about, that it's good for us to reflect upon our journey with Jesus. It's good for us to reflect upon our walk with Jesus. And that is that we could lose him if we have lost him, and yet we have not known it. I think that we would understand that most people do not leave Jesus intentionally. Most people who would become unfaithful to God, thus leaving His Son Jesus Christ, you know, have not necessarily set out in order to do that, have not necessarily just, you know, said, well, I'm going to deny Jesus Christ. I'm just no longer going to live with Him. But like his parents, just not realize that we're no longer walking with Him. In Colossians, the second chapter, we pick up here in the fourth verse when the apostle here, speaking to Christians and speaking words that would help them, like we are being encouraged to do this morning, to help us to consider our relationship with the Lord. Make sure He's still with us, in other words. Make sure we haven't left Him behind. He says, "This I say, that no one may delude you with persuasiveness of speech." So there's the danger of someone deluding, deceiving, causing us not to know, not to realize. And what is it that he is afraid that somebody might, you know, deceive them into thinking? Well, he goes on and he says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and builded up in Him and established in your faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So he's calling upon them to, you know, consider the things that they believe, the things that they are practicing. You know, what is it that we would attribute to the Lord in our relationship with Him that we are doing? Are we doing what the Lord would have us to do? And so he says that there is a steadfastness of faith. There is remaining in the same way that we began. Just as we received Jesus Christ, we continue with Him. And so it would be good for us to, you know, to be checking around and making sure and going, yeah, He's still with us. Yes, He's with us today. Yes, you know, He was with us when as we left this morning. You know, So often we find that we just might not be aware that the child is not there with us. And so he goes on in the eighth verse when he encourages them. Then he says, "Take heed lest there shall be anyone that makes spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or elements of the world, and not after Christ. So, we find that though most wouldn't just deliberately set out, go, well, you know, I'm just going to leave Jesus back there. I'm you know, tired of walking with Him. That we might lose Him and not realize it. That we might be deluded. That we might be deceived. Or someone might even come along and convince us that what we are doing in our relationship with Jesus Christ is not right. That's not what you should be doing. And sometimes reason outside of the Word of God. Or sometimes, as he says here, says, well, you know, but the traditions would teach us, you know, something different. The traditions of men. Or simply to be allowed, he says, by the way that the world appeals to us. The elements of the world. And so, you know, during the week, we might be walking with the world. We might be doing the things that would not be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And He wouldn't be participating in, but, you know, we assemble on Sunday morning, and so we assume, you know, that we have Jesus with us. When, you know, we left Him during the week. So, we need to be careful about that. We need to understand, just as His parents there, that we might lose Him and not know it. Now, the next point is something that actually is just connected to that first point, but we see it here revealed in these passages in the 44th verse. It says, so they, the boy Jesus tarried at Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. And then verse 44 says, but supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey. But supposing him to be in the company, it says. So they were traveling with some other people here. We find that there were probably, as he reveals here, there were relatives that were with them. There were some people that they were acquainted with that maybe they met, you know, on their journey there, or maybe had come from the same hometown with them, and they all just, you know, decided to travel together for various reasons, maybe for safety's sake. And so they make an assumption. Now, they've left Jesus behind, and they don't know it, but now when they recognize He's not there, or when they go, well, where is He? You know, and Mary says to Joseph, you know, I thought He was with you. And Joseph says to Mary, well, I thought He was with you, you know. Actually, it doesn't even seem that they have even thought that, or maybe they've already gotten past that, because they both go, well, I thought He was with aunt, you know, or uncle, or cousin, or, you know, friend so-and-so. And so they assumed Him to be in the company that they were traveling with. And so we find that that is a great danger as well, because we can believe and we can feel like, you know, there are various thoughts that we would have that we'd go, well, you know, I know, but the Lord is surely still, you know, with me, because, you know, I assume that He just loves me. And even though I make these mistakes, and even though I don't really, you know, change, or I do not, you know, turn from them, well, He must still, you know, just be with me, because the Lord so loved me that He gave His Son, you know, to be with me to begin with anyway. So we have to be careful. Like Paul encourages Christians to think about that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 when he says, wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. So this is a great danger. Thinking that we have the Lord, assuming that He is with us, thinking that we stand, and yet, you know, we're not looking at our lives, we're not examining the Word of God, we're not considering the things that God has revealed, and seeing whether or not we're continuing, you know, to walk with Christ the same way it was when we received Him, the same way when we became, you know, Christians. So we see here that, you know, this is a great danger to think that we are saved when we are not. You remember a parable that Jesus taught. Luke records over in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke. And he talks about here, let's just read it. He says, two men, let's begin at verse 10. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Be thou merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalts himself shall be humbled, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. We see here that here's a man that even as others would probably, you know, reckon him, as others might even think about, you know, his relationship with God and look at him, they'd go, well, you know, here is this individual who lives strictly in accordance with the will of God, with the Word of God. He himself admits he doesn't do sinful things. He's not vile like a lot of people out there and do the vile things of sin there. And he's not a sellout like this publican. And you look at this and he practices, you know, religious ceremonies. He fasts twice a week. And he gives tithes of everything that he gets. I'm not exactly sure just what was wrong with this man, except for his pride, maybe. But we see that he did not recognize that even though he did all of these things, that there were things that he had done that were sinful, that were wrong. Now, the publican, he realized, Jesus says, he recognizes, he understood, because he reflected upon his life. And he thought about these things and he says, I am a sinner and I seek your mercy, God. He says, I would pray that you would be merciful to me. And Jesus said, he left exalted. He left justified. He left exalted because the Lord was exalting him. But the man who had exalted himself, he is being humbled before the Lord. So, we find that is a danger as well, assuming that Jesus is with us. Now, we would also like to consider that there is then that discovery that we discover. We look at this, we reflect upon it. We go, yeah, I have been thinking that Jesus was with me. I left, you know, just assuming that he was in fellowship with me, that we were living together righteously, and yet now I've discovered, you know, that we are not. I've looked here and I have found, yes, there are things that I do not have that I used to have. I do not have that same seal that I once had when I first became a child of God. I don't study like I used to study. I don't read the Word of God like I used to. I don't pray as I once did. I don't live as I once did. And so, you know, over time, it's good for us to reflect upon these things and to think about, you know, how are we now in our relationship as when we first made that confession, when we first obeyed that gospel, when we first surrendered our life to Jesus Christ. Because if we are not living, you know, with that same attention and with that same detail, if we're not growing, if we're not maturing in the Lord, then there's that strong possibility that we have lost the Lord. And we haven't even realized. So now that we realize it, you know, what do we do? Well, they go searching for Jesus, don't they? They sought for him among their kinfolk and their acquaintance. But you see, he wasn't there. In other words, they're seeking in the wrong places, aren't they? And that's something that we have to be careful of as well when we discover that Jesus is no longer with us, that we are no longer living in relationship with him. And that is that we leave him and not aware of it, and yet, you know, we want to find him, if we're not careful, in the places where we want him to be. You know, well, I'd hope that he was going to be with me here. you know, at this point, at this time. And because of that, we find that though that first day they realize he's gone, it takes them 3 days to find him. Because they're not seeking where he is, are they? Or they would have found him. And where they found him, we find that Jesus says that they shouldn't have been astonished that they had found him there. He says in the 49th verse, as recorded there in the 49th verse, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" In other words, how is it you've been out here looking for all this time for me? I've been here all this time. So, if we discover, if you discover that you or that I have lost Jesus, then we need to find him by the place that we know that he would be. We need to find him at the place that we knew that we were last, at least in relationship with him. Know where, you know, we were last in favor with him, where that we were last living together. And as Jesus said, you know, that's going to be where his Father's business is. That's going to be where what he's going to be about is being about what his Father is about. So we could find Jesus if we are seeking in the Father's business, about what the Lord would have us to be about, what God the Father would have us to be about. But we must be willing to make that search. We must be willing, you know, to try to make that discovery, whether or not Jesus is with us or not, and whether or not this is the place that we can find him. Now, this is the honest search of our heart. This is, as James speaks of over in James, the first chapter, as we saw there about the Pharisee, because he was not humble, because he exalted himself, he was in a lost condition. Well, James talks about when a person realizes that and sees that. Over in James, the fourth chapter, beginning in the eighth verse, he says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall exalt you." We all realize that life gets busy, that life gets demanding, that there's a lot of things that would distract us, a lot of things that would require our time and our energies. But there are a lot of things out there that the world offers, the elements, the rudiments of the world, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the vainglory of life. There are many things out there to seek to take our focus, to take our eyesight, to take our attention off of Jesus. And so we need to walk cautiously. We need to walk carefully. We need to walk like a parent. We need to realize that we are sons and daughters of God, and that God only loses us if we lose his Son, Jesus Christ. And so it would be worthy of our time to consider our relationship with the Lord. I hope that we would discover that we're walking with him and that all is well. That would be great, and that's what we all seek and desire. And if that's why we're here, that's why we're a part of this day. But if in some way that we find that we are not, if we discover that we have lost Jesus and we didn't even realize it, we'd call upon us to turn from that sin, to turn back to the Lord, to confess that to him, that he is righteous and just to forgive us our sins. If you need, you know, the help, the prayers, the comfort, the strength of your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ this morning and accomplishing that and doing that, we would invite you to accept this invitation, to accept that at this time as we stand and sing.